Well, amen. Let's turn our Bibles this evening to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in the 23rd Proverb. Proverbs 23 and verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Well, we begin with eating and we finish with vomiting. That's the passage this evening. Number one, consider diligently. He starts this in Solomon's passing on wisdom to his son. He starts with this thing, consider diligently. So, hey, here's some thoughts here. We will interact with a variety of people in our lives, okay? We're going to interact with a variety of people in our lives. There's going to be a lot of different people, right? The kind of people maybe that you deal with in work, that you deal with in your daily life, in your neighborhood, and dealing with kids, dealing with different things. And we're going to deal with all kinds of people from all different walks of life. Number one, some of these people will be at a much higher situation in life than us, okay? This is the thing that we're going to have to realize. We're going to interact with people that are going to be in a much higher, and can I say this, wealthier situation, which is, they may have wealth, they may have status, they may have luxury, yea, they may, even in the food they consume, right? You ever know people that eat steak as much as they want to? Right? They eat steak as much, not as all the time, not hot dogs, steak. You ever go to a restaurant and you see somebody else over there, they're getting like appetizers, they're getting steaks, they're getting this, all this food, and then they leave half of it and they go and you want to go over and just kind of, no, just kidding. But we're gonna interact with different people, and people are gonna be at a different. There're gonna be different wealth status. Matter of fact, some are gonna be higher, some will be lower, and at different status. When I mean status, I'm thinking their position in life. Their status in the community, maybe their status within the neighborhood. You know, they're gonna be chairman of the neighborhood watch. You know, I don't know, whatever. Or maybe at work, or maybe in some kind of place in their life. And luxury. I had a friend, and his, they had all nice cars, all nice clothes, all nice stuff. It's just, they lived in luxury. It's just kind of how their life was. And so folks have all these different things. Number two, consider what is before you. Okay? This is what he says there in verse 1. Consider diligently what is before thee. Listen. When he says consider what's before you, not in the sense of learning the type of foods. I'm going to learn so I know what they're talking about. These are nice little things. And you're like, I really like this stuff. And you're like, oh, that's caviar. I didn't want that. You know, I don't mean learn that way of that kind of things and type of foods and being educated in the whys and various delicacies of life. This isn't what he means. You need to consider diligently what's before you. No, but consider what is now at your disposal, what is coming into your life, what's coming before you in this thing. Let me go back to this verse again. It begins with this, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler. Okay? So, he sets up this environment. And I don't want us to get too caught up with the food part. We're gonna see this. We're going to unfold this. We're going to see it. But what he's talking about is when you get yourself in that place before, and by the way, a ruler, the word ruler here can mean somebody, not necessarily king. It could be a governor. It could be any kind of class of a government official or somebody that's in that kind of official, some kind of person. It really means somebody, really what Solomon's getting at is somebody that's above your station, really. And when you sit down with them and when you're at that place, get this is not your station in life, okay? Because you're there with them doesn't mean you are one of them. You understand what I'm saying here? I've told some of you the story before. I was one time I was there in Sri Lanka trying to get a visa by having some business. You have to have a business to get a visa. There's no such thing as a missionary visa in Sri Lanka, so we'd find some way. And I knew a fella that he had a business of importing, importing business. And so I said, could I be a consultant for your company? He was a preacher up in Canada. And I said, can I be a consultant for your company? He said, yeah, that'd be great. I said, I'm going to make up some business cards. I'm a consultant. Is that okay? He said, yeah, that'd be great. So I go and make me up some business cards. I'm a consultant for this importing company, which in Sri Lanka, that's a great thing. If you'll import their, export their products, they're great. So I'm just, part of my tourist visa was I had to be involved in finding some, actively pursuing something. So I'm actively pursuing something. Next thing I know, I find myself sitting in front of the head of the tea export for the whole country. And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to not act like a fool because I knew nothing about this tea. I like tea. I didn't even really like it that much then. And, sometimes you find yourself in a place and you realize I am not among my people. You know what I mean? I am not at the same station as, I might have got a chance to go to a restaurant when my wife and I first got married. I would take, before we had kids, we could really do a lot of fun stuff. No, I'm just kidding. I would take her on some Friday nights. I would take her to fancy restaurants in Omaha, Nebraska. I'd go down there. I would make this reservation. After I got off, I was still in the Air Force. I would go pick her up. I said, we're going to go to this restaurant. We'd go there. I said, it's a fancy restaurant. Neither one of us really went to those kind of things ever. I thought this is going to be a fun thing. You go there, and you pay good money. Good money. Hard-earned good money, and they don't know how to put enough food on the plate. And we'd go there, and it was a fun experience, and you see these people, we kind of walk in, we dress up a little bit, walk in like they didn't know. You'll walk in like you own the place, we're here, and I'll take water. and you're like, we go get McDonald's later. Sometimes you realize you're not in your people. This is part of life, though. It's okay. It's all right. But here's the thing that Solomon's getting at. You need to consider. I mean, listen, he said, consider diligently this thing. B, this is not the life that you were given. It's not the life you were given. Hey, you may visit those things, but it's not your life. We understand? We could visit those things, but not your life. Maybe the life that was required, maybe the life that's required to have those things is not the life not the path that you wanted to go down to get those things. What did it take to get that? And they tell you, guess I don't want to live like that. But sometimes we can get in that kind of situation. Maybe this, though, sometimes. By the way, Are rich people bad? Yes, bad people. No, listen. That's not what the Bible teaches. It does teach that being rich makes it difficult. right? It's more difficult. You know, it's difficult. It's challenging. Matter of fact, sometimes Jesus said it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible for a rich man into the kingdom of heaven. But maybe maybe God just put them in a different situation and different circumstances to be in the place that they're at. All right? Doesn't mean, well, you know, they think they have everything. No, they just, maybe God, I don't know. Maybe they were evil and did wicked things to get there. Maybe it's ill gains. Maybe God just put them in a situation. I know some people that were very wealthy that God has used them greatly to advance the kingdom. Okay, so I just want us to see when we're there, what we're going to get this. That's not my life. It's not my life. So he says, number 3, consider diligently is what he's saying. Consider diligently. He's trying to tell his son, you need to, when you get there in those places, consider diligently. This can be a dangerous place for you and I. You ever been on vacation? And you're like, been on vacation and you're like, man, I could just live like this all the time. Y'all thinking that? Yeah. they're on vacation here this week. They're friends from Pennsylvania down here this week anyway. Sometimes, you know, we're like that. We're on vacation like, you know what? I like vacation. You know what? Because I don't have to do anything. That's the best part of it. I don't have to think about anything. I don't have to work on anything. I'm just relaxing. And, man, I love that idea. And sometimes I get there, I'm thinking, you know what? We should just retire now and live like this. And I've said stuff like that. And my wife's like, you wouldn't make it a week. I'm like, yeah, I'll prove it. No, I didn't. But, you know, sometimes we can get ourselves, it can be a dangerous place when we get to some of those things that are outside of our station, outside of our normal life. It could be a dangerous place. Sitting before us, maybe the best things that we could ever have, sitting with somebody like this, sitting with other people outside of, it's like, wow, these are the best things. Well, this would be great to have. The danger is not getting to have some of that kind of experiences. That's not necessarily the danger. The danger is in so desiring these things that we would shift our life to attempt to acquire it so that we can keep up with the Joneses, right? You ever see somebody get a new car in your neighborhood and you're like, man, I like that car. Or maybe just driving down the road and you think, huh, I wonder what one of those costs. You ever done that? I do that a lot. I wonder what that costs. And then so that I could judge them for spending that money. So we can kind of get ourselves into this thing as we can begin to. The danger is in us so desiring those that we had shift our life. The idea here is to very carefully consider its power over us. To very carefully consider its power. How many of y'all guessed that one? Just one? Two of you? All right. Good. Good job. Because I can see people get like a smile. Like when I've, these girls too, they're like, or if they didn't, they're like, there's this one. Anyway, it's part of the game. That's all right. He's mostly sad because he misses it. You can't help but guess, right? Anyway, it's part of the game. That's okay. But here's the thing. The idea is to be careful and consider its power over us. It is really to consider, really it's this, it's to consider, watch this, our own heart and our ability to resist its pull. You see, because there's some of these things that can begin to we see that and like, man, I really want that. And so here's what Solomon's telling his son. You need to be careful. Here's this, watch this. We need to be honest with ourselves and honest about ourselves. Here's the problem. We'll say stuff like this. No, I can handle it. I'm just going to enjoy it for a little bit, but, you know. And by the way, maybe you can. But there's some times that we need to get to the point. We need to be honest with ourselves. This thing that I'm being a part of, maybe, can I just say, working extra hours, making extra money, And you know, a guy will say something like this, hey, honey, I'm going to work some extra, but we're going to do some extra things. And she's like, yeah, sweet. You work the, we can do the extra things, and you start to like, this is great, just for, no, we're just doing it for now. And then next thing you know, you get to where, man, I so covet these things, and I so love these things, that I'm going to change my life to not just experience it, but to have it. So B, how diligent or careful should we be? Here's the question, number two, verse two rather. And put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Okay, so number one, this is a Hebrew idiom meaning this. It really means this, to exercise self-restraint. Either one, it's good. But restraint kind of gives this thing to say, I'm going to, either one. But it's really the idea. So A, hold yourself accountable. Good. Good. Hold yourself accountable. This is it. Hold yourself accountable on this thing. Be careful. You know what you're going to do? By the way, you don't say, if I do it, I'm going to kill myself. This isn't a suicidal verse. Amen? Y'all with me? When it says hold the knife to the throat, it's trying to give this illustration of this thing of food and kind of giving this sense in here. That, like, don't eat this stuff to the point that it's going to cause you harm. So hold yourself accountable. The clause of this sentence starts with this. Look at verse 2 again. And put a knife to thy throat. What's that next word? If. Okay? So it starts with if. If you are one given to appetite. If you're one given to this. Okay? This is why we got to be honest with ourselves. By the way, folks, don't get caught up with the food thing. Okay? The food is the illustration that Solomon's trying to say, well, you know, I do like to eat. I mean, which one of us doesn't? Okay, that doesn't fit. So if means everyone. No, what he's talking about here is if you're prone to this, okay? Number two, under that, if this is something in particular that would tug at you, then you need to be extra careful. Okay? Listen, if this is something, then you need to consider diligently, should I be here? Hey, listen, you already know this is a problem for you. You already know I'm prone to want to make extra money. I'm prone to want to stay away from home, from my spouse, whichever, which one, or my kids. I'm prone to want to do this. I'm prone to want to do that. So when something kind of leads you to that, say, you know what? This isn't something, you know what? You kind of like it. Kind of like, and then you ever said something like, I probably shouldn't, but just a little bit. You ever said, no, don't raise your hand, but we've all said something like that. When you're thinking, I probably shouldn't, you're probably right. That's what we need to consider. If you're one given to that appetite, then it's going to be a problem for you. It's going to be a problem for you. Number two, danger is lurking. Danger is lurking. Look at verse 3. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Okay, A, the danger for us is in our desire. The danger for us is in our desire. That's the danger. Number one under there. Desiring what someone else has can be very dangerous. So A, we call this what? Covetousness. Envy is one. Listen, desiring what other people have, there's a problem with this. And as a matter of fact, it's not just, well, you know, it's just not really good. No, this is actually something that the Bible calls what? Sin. It's sin. Okay? You're like, well, I was just enjoying myself a little bit. What's wrong with that? I mean, well, I don't know. I guess God said it is wrong, and he knows where that's going. Here's something that's interesting it says in this verse. It says there in verse 3, be not desirous of what? What's that word? His. Okay? That's his dainties. That's a weird word. It means delectable foods, special foods. This is what God has allowed in his or her life. Is it okay for them to have it? No, if I don't get it, they shouldn't get it. No, listen, Just because they have it doesn't mean I should get it too. I think that's not what equality is, right? Let's balance the wealth, right? Let's share the wealth, and let me take from you and give to me, right? Because this one, well, if they get it, I should too. No, that's not the way life works. Do you want everybody to have what you have? You don't, because us in this room, in this country, we sit high on the poverty line worldwide. We don't want to have to share it out to the rest of the world and us live like these folks live in tents in the woods back here. Right? So this is this thing of, this is what God has allowed in his or her life, or it's what they've gotten by ill gains. Either way, it is theirs. Either way, however they got it, whether God gave it to them or whether they got it in an ill way, it's theirs. It's not yours. B. Capital B. Little B and then capital B. Those things do not truly satisfy our appetite. Matter of fact, it says there in that verse that they are deceitful meat. They're deceitful meat. Number one under that. We may believe that what we do not have is the very thing that will make us happy. Isn't that a way we think a lot of time? Man, if I just had a situation, what's that?
$1 million.
Yeah. If I had $1 million, if I had this job, if I had this house, if I had this lawn, right? For me, sometimes, like, if I could just have my pool clean, it'd make me happy. And that's true. And you know how long that lasts until it gets dirty again. So we think the thing that we don't, and I'm kind of being funny about some of that, but there are things that we will actually shift the direction of our life so that we can have those things, thinking that they're going to bring happiness to us, and that's going to satiate me, and I'm going to be fine. That, listen, A, happiness is not found in stuff. It's not found in stuff. Look at verse 3 again. The last part of it says, for they are deceitful meat. The deceit is in thinking that something will bring us, something like that will bring us to fulfillment in this life. That's the deceit. It will not do it. Won't do it. So number 2, do not give your life for such deceit. Verse 4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Okay, we can see in this verse, who is the great deceiver in all of this? It is self. It's self. Okay, that's the thing. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. No. It's going to be different this time. Right? It's going to be different. I know last time I tried to go down that road, but this time I'm smarter. No, you're dumber because you tried it and it didn't work. Now you're going to try it again. That's really stupid. All right? Stupid's a mean word. No, stupid's just a real word. Right? Stupid means I've tried this. It didn't work. I think I can do it better this time. The same thing that caused me problems, I'm going to do it again. No. Listen, there's a problem. It's deceitful. So this is why there's a warning here to consider diligently. We will not be able to refrain ourselves from all temptation. We just won't. You won't be able to resist all temptation. Do you understand that tonight? We understand that? There's some things that you will not be able to resist temptation of very long. And for me, I may not be slightly interested in that thing, and vice versa. There might be some things that I need to be aware. I need to diligently consider, because somebody else right next could be fine with it, but that's not something I need. You mean, preacher, there's things like that that can draw you. I'm still human, aren't you? So that's why he's saying consider diligently. We need to consider ourselves. B, the answer is to get our own heart right about it, to cease from our own wisdom. Number 3, I always start fun and I have to end fast. That's how it goes. Anyway, number 3, be content. Be content. 5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. A, coveting what others have is an empty promise. See? It flies away. Man, I tell you, number one, we see their joy and happiness. Right? So we strive to get what they have. So here's how it is. We see what they have. We see their joy and their happiness. Man, they're enjoying life. And so I'm going to try to get what they have. You ever done that? Yeah. We all, maybe just me. But we do that thing. Well, man, that's working for them. I'm going to try that. Man, that's a, but it is fleeting. It is fleeting. The moment we get a hold of it, the joy, happiness, and the promise of contentment fly away as an eagle that vanishes into the sky. Well, no, you're supposed to. That was supposed to be my thing. It's so unfair. Isn't it so unfair? How that stuff made somebody else happy, and then I get it, and I'm still just as miserable. I wish now I got to go find something else to get to make me happy, right? So here's the thing. Two, we hoped to replicate what others have, but it isn't for us. It isn't for us. Look at verse 6 now. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Okay, number one, A under that. People are not, this is going to be a shocker. It'll be a shocker to you. People are not always honest about the contentment in their own lives. Ha! So you mean there could be people at church that pretend like they're happy and content, and God's so good, right? They go around, man, praise Jesus, God, Holy Ghost, Jesus, Father, oh, so good. And you're like, man, they are just in love. God is just blessing them. And then you start looking at their life. What do they got that's brought such happiness in their life? Right? And you're looking. At least they don't think. No. And so you're doing that. You look at what's going on. People aren't always honest. We're good at coming to church and acting like, you know, this is how I live every day. I mean, I'm just every moment. Y'all think, man, preacher's always excited about life. My wife will tell you that's not true. Right? Matter of fact, half the time I get home and I'm just like, leave me alone. Okay, we just talked about it earlier. Okay, we can look at others, listen to them go on about the perfectness of their life, while all along they are using their words to cover up their own discontentment. It's just not fair people do that, right? Look at verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. B, don't desire to have what they have. Okay? Listen, see, it may very well cost you more than you are willing to pay and not produce what you're expecting to receive. When I say it may very well, it most likely will cost you more than you really were willing to pay, and then once you get it, it doesn't really pay off, right? Like, look at verse 8. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. So number 3. What a sad realization it is when we acquire what we thought was going to be our fulfillment. We get it. And then once you have it, you want to vomit it. Why would you want to vomit something? You know why? Because it turns your stomach. You ever seen somebody, we talked about this, but people will fight over something. I want to do that with kids. Kids often do, adults do this too, though. But kids do it more often, maybe, and they're louder, and so you notice it, and they're fighting over this toy, fighting, and they get so aggressive that one gets really mad, and the other one gets mad, and somebody gets hurt, and then they get it, and the other one gets, and then the one says, fine, you can have it then. Right? And then the one that gets it's like, because, you know, the other one's bleeding or something, And the other one that gets it, they kind of, you know what they do? They kind of feel bad about it. They do, if they got some conscience, you know, a little conscience. They're like, okay, you can have it. You know what they want to do? They got it, and then they want to get rid of it. Because getting it, realize what I had to do to get it. Passion will cause us to really do some stupid stuff. We'll say some things, do some things. And then you go back after you ever done this? You've had this really heated argument or conversation. And you walk away thinking, I wish I didn't say that. Why did I say that? You stupid. You know what happens? You get it, and then you want to vomit it. You want to get rid of it. You want to get that out because it's turned. Men and women, when they have spent their life to accomplish some sort of situation, regret what they surrendered to get it. Want this thing. I'm wanting, strive for work. And it takes a year. Some of these things take years and years and years, and you get it, and it says vomit. Terrible tasting. Corrupt and expelled from our lives and wished we'd have never had it. B, the sweetness that we may have, that may have been your life, will be lost. I wish I could do what Solomon was trying to do here with his son. I wish I could get this across for folks. Is listen. Living for the Lord now is the only thing that's going to bring this really happiness. The only thing that's really going to bring this contentment. You think, well, you know, but I'm busy. I've got to this. Got to do this to make, you know, if I don't do that, then, you know. And no, listen, you're missing what could be a sweetness of your life. Can I tell you, you don't get that back. You can have some other sweetness, okay? But the sweetness that we lost, it's too late to regain, it's gone. So see, therefore, diligently consider what's before you. Oh, man, contentment. Maybe I could just say this. Contentment with godliness is great gain. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would, Lord, would you take this passage here, Proverbs, and Lord, help us to really desire to have what you've given us, and Lord, really find contentment in. Lord, we could at times, Lord, be given to appetites, wanting more than what you really want us to have, Lord. Every one of us here have struggled with that, no matter what our station in life is. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to really remember these words and realize there's deceitful in that. There's such sweetness in the contentment of where you placed us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless now, have your will and way, and we'll thank you for it now. In Jesus' name.